All right, thank you everyone for being here today. We are on section number 3, item number 6, in regards to Brenda Reed, DVM. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Reed in case number 2424. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 32-2234. Dr. Reed, please introduce yourself and your counsel for the record.
Brenda Reed, DVM.
Okay.
David Stolperry is legal counsel for Dr. Reed.
Great. Dr. Reed, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you have submitted. If you have any additional materials at this time, please submit those now.
We have no additional materials.
Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. James, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
This is case 2424. On March 31st, 2023, Lily, a 12-year-old female Havanese, was hospitalized at an emergency facility due to suspected liver disease. Diagnostics were performed, hepatopathy and Cushing's was suspected. On April 11th, 2023, the respondent evaluated the dog. Blood work was performed, which revealed improved liver values. The plan was to test for Cushing's disease in a month. On June 6, 2023, a low-dose DEX suppression test was performed and the results were consistent with Cushing's. Littoral was started. On June 29, 2023, an ACTH stim test was performed. Littoral dose was divided to give twice a day. On August 1, 2023, the dog was presented to respondent for vomiting, lethargy, resolving diarrhea, and a change in respiration. A new heart murmur was identified. Diagnostics were performed, including radiographs and blood work. No change in the dog's temperament treatment regime was warranted at that time. On August 3rd, 2023, the complainant's husband called the respondent's premise to report the dog was breathing heavy and coughing. The staff recommended taking the dog to an emergency facility. Later that day, the dog was presented to the respondent's premises and bronchitis was suspected, and doxycycline, sirenia, and a cough suppressant was prescribed. On August 4th, due to the dog not doing well and being difficult to medicate, the dog was presented to the respondent's premise to administer the dog's oral medication. At discharge, the pet owners were provided a printout of local emergency facilities due to their limited hours over the next 3 days. Later that evening, the dog collapsed in the backyard. The dog was presented to an emergency facility where death was confirmed.
Thank you. Dr. Reed, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Dr. Reed, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. Good afternoon. By way of background, I want you to know that I am a graduate of Colorado State University. I have been practicing for over 26 years. In this case, I do not feel that I violated any statute or regulation of the Practice Act and was therefore relieved when the investigative committee issued its recommendation on December 5th, 2023, that this complaint be dismissed with no violation. I am hopeful that after I respond to your questions here today, you will agree with the committee and formally dismiss the complaint. It is my understanding that the focus of your concern on review of this case is related to hearing a heart murmur. Please be advised that I did not ignore Lily's murmur when I first heard it August 1st, 2023. I noted it to the owners, noted it in the medical record, obtained thoracic radiographs, checked her oxygenation, and performed a heartworm test. During this visit, Lily had presented for follow-up from a recent bout of gastroenteritis from which she was recovering. The murmur had not been noted in other veterinarian's records. Thus, I evaluated it and discussed it with the owners. So again, it was not ignored. A secondary concern of yours was, why did I not question the findings of the radiologist? The simple answer to that question is that I did not question the radiologist's finding because I agreed with his findings. Lily's radiographs show mild left atrial enlargement, a mild bronchial pattern, and no evidence of congestive heart failure. Following your review of this case on January 17th, I took the liberty, at my own expense, of having the radiographs reviewed by a second board-certified radiologist, and that radiologist, Dr. Teresa Aller, made the same findings as the prior radiologist. Finally, I want you to know that I am not opposed to questioning specialists when they are retained on a case. I don't blindly accept everything they tell me. Over the course of my career, when I've had questions about a radiologist report, I've called and spoken with them. In this case, I didn't feel the need to do so. I'm now available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Do board members have any questions for Dr. Reed?
So this is Dr. James, and I thank you for the summary. I do think a lot of the questions that we had at the initial review was around the heart murmur and how it was handled. So I just to get a little bit of clarity on that, I think you said in your statement that because of the radiology review and that there was no evidence of congestive heart failure, you moved forward with treating this dog for bronchitis with a cough suppressant and medications. Did you discuss with them the potential that there could be other underlying causes for a sudden onset of a heart murmur?
Such, like if it was like if it wasn't degeneration?
Yeah, or I mean, because to me, it's bronchitis alone is not the cause of the heart murmur. So like, did you go into discussion with them about what potentially could be going on there?
Well, we discussed, of course, the murmur and, you know, common causes, you know, of, you know, mixed ominous valvular degeneration. No, I believe that's what we discussed.
So you discussed the causes of the heart murmur, but then related to the owner, you didn't feel like the heart murmur was a concern, like that it needed any additional workup or treatment?
I felt we worked it up. We did thoracic
like echo or anything?
Not that day, no.
Okay. It sounded like at one point that staff had recommended taking the dog to the emergency facility, but then the dog came into your facility anyway. Were you able to fit them in, or was there some element of you were in a rush and didn't have time to take this dog in? Because I was trying to figure out why they were recommended to go to the emergency facility if you were able to handle their case internally.
I will look. I believe they showed up anyway. I'll see if there's a note on that. I think that was the third.
Yes, it was the third.
They came in. Without an appointment.
They had called. It looks like they had called, and staff had recommended taking them to an emergency facility.
Correct.
But then they just showed up anyway.
Correct.
But my question is really around, so then at that time, obviously you saw the pet, but did you have the time and attention to give to this case? Because I'm trying to figure out why staff would have said take them somewhere else and then you have time to do a full workup.
We then treated them once they arrived. We treated them as a drop-off appointment, so the patient was brought to our treatment area and assessed. The owners waited through this. It might have been a couple of hours. And so, yes, I believe we did make time for them to assess and treat Lily.
Okay. And then what would your assessment be of this sudden change in respiration and heavy breathing and coughing? Did you attribute all of that to a potential bronchitis?
That was my best assessment at the time following the radiographs. and given her recent diagnosis in the past couple of months of Cushing's disease. And not seeing evidence of other things.
I don't have any additional questions.
Okay. Do any other board members have questions?
I was looking at the two reports. Either you nor either one of the radiologists did a vertebral heart score, but they both did find left ventricular enlargement. Is that right?
Left atrial enlargement.
Mild left-sided cardiomegaly. That's in the first report. Mild left-sided cardiomegaly. And radiologists usually will, if it's atrial, they'll say it's an atrial enlargement. If it's cardiomegaly, they're usually referring to ventricular.
Mild left-sided cardiomegaly, correct. It does say that. It doesn't say ventricular.
No, it does not say here. That's correct. And on the...
You're right. I said left atrial. The second radiologist said left atrial. This one said mild cardiomegaly, correct.
Right. And the second one also says mild left-sided cardiomegaly. I'm looking at the second report now, I think, unless I'm trying to flip back and forth.
Yeah, this is Teresa. Right. Mm-hmm.
It's in the new radiology report. Under conclusions and recommendations, mild left-sided cardiomegaly.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? All right, thank you. You may, well, I guess you can just stay there since the completeness is on the phone. All right, Judith, I would now like to swear you in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Thank you. We know you're the complainant in this case, and we've read the materials that you have provided, and it is now your turn to address the board.
Well, one thing that was just brought up that is absolutely a lie, and I'm very upset to hear it, is that Dr. Reed just said that she recommended that we go to the emergency room. That was 100% a lie. We have never had an issue when Lily was sick back in April, when they couldn't take us, we went to an urgent care and they told us to go to the emergency room. We couldn't speed there fast enough. We asked at least a dozen times over and over and over, should we take Lily to the emergency room? We have no issue. That dog was our life. Never would it be an issue. Cost was never an issue. We were told, no, she does not need to go to the emergency room. No, I asked over and over, is she going to die? She was getting sicker every day. I put my trust in Dr. Reed, and for her to sit there now under oath and say that they told us to go to the emergency room was an outright lie. I have all the doctor notes because I always keep all the doctor notes because we do have pet insurance. Never in the notes, if you read them, does she say, and if she had recommended to go to the emergency room, that would have been in the notes. Never recommended that we go to the emergency room. She told us that Lily was not going to die from this and that she had mild first gastroenteritis. After the x-ray, she showed us the x-ray. She showed us, I said, what does that show? I'm not a doctor. She said, everything looks fine. 2 days later, when her breathing was so labored that we went back, she said, oh, she has mild bronchitis. And I specifically asked, well, why didn't you tell us that before? And she just said, well, it's only mild, and then she gave us new medicine to take. Never, never gave us a list. We know our car knows how to get to the emergency room. They never gave us a list of emergency rooms. We certainly know how to get there. In fact, when Lily dropped dead in the backyard, we called the emergency room because we thought she was dead but didn't know for sure. I mean, we sped there. And so obviously we know where the emergency room is, and we took her there when we didn't know if she was dead or not. So no, I'm very disturbed to hear her lie and say that they told us to go to the emergency room because maybe they would have saved Lily. And one of the doctors who was in the investigation meeting prior to this meeting, in the audio report, said that there were three x-rays, which we were never shown. We only saw one, and she was concerned, although she didn't rule against Dr. Reed. I did hear in her audio portion that had she had a patient with that one picture which showed her heart looked so bad, she would have called the radiologist because she doesn't always take them at face value, and she would have followed up with that. So now I'm told at least that there were three x-rays which we didn't see, and that obviously a doctor who's been practicing as long as she has would have seen that the heart was an issue. She never discussed, she mentioned the heart murmur. She did not say, tell us what caused it. She just said, we'll keep an eye on it. Did not give any causes for it or any concern that what was going on with her heart was the reason that she was so sick. And now I believe the reason she died. So I'm very disturbed to hear that she would say that when it is 100% a lie, and it would have been in the notes, and we would have been at that emergency room in an instant if that's what she said. So coming back for the drop-in, they didn't say go to the emergency room. We called that she was getting sicker. They said, okay, you can do a drop-in. And by the way, they were always very clear about how much everything costs, which to me did not matter. That, well, that'll be $125. I said, I don't care what the cost is. We went there. We met with the tech. Dr. Reed was busy. She couldn't see us. We sat there for a good hour. They said to leave Lily, and Dr. Reed would look at her. We did. As soon as we got home, we got a call from the office saying, come back and get her. That's all. And again, is she going to die? No, the medicines will work. So that is, I'm just very, very disturbed about that, because that is never, ever, ever would that be. We don't take lightly owning a dog. And if the dog is sick, that's our primary concern. We don't have small children anymore. Our children are all grown. Our dog is basically our child. And we will give that dog unlimited health care or do anything unless they were saying, you know, that she's going to die and she needs to be put down, and that's not what they said. They told us 100 times over and over, she is not going to die. And I put that in the letter, and that's what I have to say, because this is just ridiculous for her to lie and say that she told us to go to the emergency room, because, you know, it's nice to think back and yes, we should have gone to the emergency room, but we put our faith. We'd been going to Dr. Reed for a long time, and if she felt she needed to go to the emergency room, she would have told us, and we would have gone right in the car and driven right to the emergency room. So that's what I have to add to that.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to ask now if board members have questions for the complainant.
So this is Dr. James, and I just want to clarify the conversation on the emergency room, just to make sure we're all on the same page. It sounded like it was the staff that had recommended taking the dog to the emergency facility.
No, they did not either. I spoke with the Tiffany at the front desk. She even said to me, no, she's not going to die. The only thing that Stephen, the tech, said was that when Lily gets better, you probably should think about taking her to a specialist. And I said, that's a great idea. But he did not say to take her now because of what they were finding. She was so sick. We never could have gotten into a specialist. We could have gotten into a hospital. But he never said go to the hospital. He suggested to go to that Southern Arizona specialty center when Lily got better. And we absolutely did take that brochure, and we're absolutely going to follow up with that. But not for this ailment, because they told us 100 times she is not going to die from this, and you do not need to go in the emergency room for this. That's what we were told.
Okay, yeah. I was trying to clarify that it might have been before they got some of this information, but that doesn't matter. I think my questions here, when you brought her in on August 1st, and there was like, this sounds like this is at the start of the decline, like the vomiting and lethargy had started, there was a change in breathing.
The change in breathing was very slight at that day. It got worse by Wednesday, or 2 days later, maybe it was Thursday. The day we brought her in, she was having diarrhea. I don't know if she was vomiting, I don't remember, but she was having diarrhea, it wasn't going away. We brought her in for that. The breathing might have been slightly, but nothing extreme. It was 2 days later, I think it was Thursday, I was actually out, and my husband called me, and he says, Lily is having so much difficulty breathing, I don't know what to do. So I ran home, we called them, then that's when they told us to come in for a drop-off, and Lily could barely breathe. I mean, it was horrible to watch. No, they did not tell us to go to the hospital. I would have gone to the hospital, absolutely.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions from board members? Okay.
No.
Okay. Thank you, Judith. Now I'm just going to have you remain silent on the line, okay, while we go into deliberations?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Reed? Right. Sorry. No, I'm sorry. I was going to give a chance. Dr. Reed, do you or your legal counsel have any other information?
Her legal counsel has a comment. Okay. With regard to this referral to the ER, you have the communication records. The owner just said that she looked through everything and there's no reference of a referral to an ER. A reference to a referral that was made for an ER visit.
It's 4th. Not in the notes.
Sorry.
This is in the communication record for August 4th. Dr. Reed, through a technician, gave the owner the following advice, and I'm going to just read verbatim from the communication record. Gave owners list of ER vets to take patient to and discussed SAVS urgent care as good option if patient having problems or they are worried. Discuss possibility of internal med consult through SAVS as next best step for patient. We can send records. Inform owners if patient is not doing well, don't wait to go to ER. Owners agreed and are thankful for information and helping medicate patient.
Those records were never sent to me when I asked for all their records.
Judith,
I have all the records that were sent to me and those were never sent to me.
I need you to remain silent, otherwise we're going to have to disconnect the call, okay? So this is the opportunity now where we're hearing from the licensee, and then the board will be deliberating. So I apologize, but unfortunately this is not a back and forth, and you don't have another opportunity to speak at this time. Thank you.
So that's what's in the contemporaneous timestamp communication record. This case was moved to an informal interview because you have some questions regarding the heart murmur. I think Dr. has addressed those. The heart murmur was not ignored or missed. In fact, Dr. Reed was the first and only veterinarian who detected a heart murmur. And as she noted it in the record, she discussed it with the owner, took x-rays, sent them out for radiology consult once. And then after your review, there were some comments that perhaps the Dr. Reed should have second-guessed the radiology consult report that she got and not relied on the expert report. So she sent it out at her own expense for a second consult report and got essentially the same result. Questioning experts is a dangerous thing for veterinarians to do. I mean, that's why we have expert witnesses. We rely on their levels of education and expertise and for their advice. But Dr. Reed told you in her opening statement, she's not above questioning an expert. If she gets a report and has a question, she'll call them and has in the past for clarification. But in this case, she didn't second guess the radiologist's report because she agreed with it. And then, since you've moved this to an informal interview, she sent it out for a third opinion and came to the same conclusion. So. As emotional as this case is for the owner, we don't believe that there's any basis for a violation of a statute of regulation, and I agree with the committee that this should be dismissed with no violation. Do you have anything you wish to add?
Thank you. Are there any additional questions from board members? Okay. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
So this case is a hard one for me because certainly we do have the radiology report, but I have a hard time understanding how we have a dog that's been seen multiple times, has never been detected to have a heart murmur, comes in, has a newly found heart murmur. At the same time, it's having some changes in behavior, change in respiration. 2 days later, it's even worse. We have a left-sided cardiomegaly, which we really don't know what the cause of that was. And we treat it for bronchitis and never do a cardiac workup, like an echo. I think that's where I'm having trouble is the radiology report noted a left-sided cardiomegaly. So we had evidence of there being something going on. We had clinical signs consistent with heart disease. We had a heart murmur that was newly identified, which always makes me concerned. And we treated for something else. And I mean, I would love to hear other feedback on that before I make a motion, but I think that's where the crux of my unrest with this case is, because I feel like all the other things, I mean, going through it, were right on. I mean, it was exactly what I would have expected.
I guess my concern, though, is if we were having respiratory issues, we should have had some kind of fluid in the lungs, and doing an echocardiogram is not going to pick that up. The chest x-rays are going to pick that up, and that doesn't come up on this.
Well, if the cough, though, was related to the heart and you looked at it, you on an echo, you could see changes that would tell you what was going on in the heart.
In the heart, but it wouldn't tell you congestive heart failure, which is what would cause the coughing.
No.
So, like I said, I'd be thinking this is more coughing related to pressure of the left main stem bronchus. But, I mean, the diagnostic test for congestive heart failure is chest x-rays, and that was done, and we have a report. So the dog was not in congestive heart failure at that time. So that's kind of my crux. Yes, we can do an echo, but that's not really changing anything either.
I would agree that the logical next step is an echo in this dog, based on the information that we have here. We question specialists when the information we get from them doesn't match our examination and our symptomology. That's when we question. We're not questioning their expertise. We're just trying to make it match with the total picture. And this sudden onset of a murmur, sudden onset of a cough and respiratory distress would make me concerned about cardiac, regardless of the radiology report, and push for an echo pretty quick.
What's an echo going to show you, though? It's going to show you shortening fraction. It's going to show you ventricle enlargement. It's not going to show you anything that's going to be diagnostic.
Ventricular muscle contraction.
Yeah, that's not going to cause an issue. Could be ruptured chordate tendon, but then we'd have fluid in the lungs. So like I said, so nothing's fitting
that can
with
happen.
The cough.
That can happen so fast there is no fluid.
Then this is not the veterinarian's fault.
Oh.
So I mean, so we didn't miss anything at that point, is what I'm saying is, mm-hmm. is I understand when we jump to echoes, and echoes don't give us a whole lot of information in veterinary medicine, to be honest. I mean, they can be useful.
Can I respectfully disagree?
You can.
Chest
x-rays with congestive heart failure are going to be what the diagnostic test is when you start the medications. Maybe you could start chemobendin a little bit early. There's some debates about that may help preserve cardiac function. But I mean, mainstay drugs, enalapril, benazepril, furosemide, are going to be based off of chest x-rays alone, not echocardiogram.
And how good is echo for cardiomegaly?
It's very good. But what's cardiomegaly going to tell you? We don't have heart disease in dogs like we do in people.
If you're questioning the radiology,
well, yeah, we're not
the
questioning
echo
the radiology
going
that way. We know there's cardiomegaly.
What's better?
I mean, the condition of the valves, the thickness of the walls, contractility.
But again, what are you going to do about
exactly.
that?
Well,
what can you do with that information? That's my question. We can do a
I
lot
think
of
I would have done a lot more
X-rays.
Than treating for bronchitis.
So what are you going to treat?
I mean,
what
depends
medications
on what you
do
find.
At that point? We don't do beta blockers and that kind of stuff in veterinary medicine. So I said, so really, we're looking at with coughing.
I do too.
I do.
There's a lot of debate about that. So there's
let's say that, please.
So there's a lot of information or a lot of questioning around the coughing, the breathing. The chest x-rays are going to tell us that. Nothing about an echo is going to change anything there. An echo does not look at the lungs. So, I mean, I understand echo's the next step that we always go to, but what are the results of that going to show us most of the time? Not a whole lot other than recheck again in 6 months. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it's kind of like what we were saying. We've lost the art of veterinary medicine sometimes, the art of practice. We jump right to the next thing, and what do we do with that information?
Well,
and really, most of the time on echocardiograms, the information is rechecked again in 6 months.
And it may have been declined, and it may not have shown anything in it, but half the diagnostic tests we do don't show anything.
No, that's very true. We got to start tracking things down.
They also, unlike radiology, you will get treatment recommendations with echo, which is sometimes very helpful.
Yeah, because you're getting the cardiology consult.
Because you're getting the cardiology consult. With radiology, you're getting a radiology.
Yeah.
Consult, not a
cardiologist. A cardiologist to reason.
When you do an echo, then you get a cardiology consult with treatment recommendations.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the thing here is that clearly between the investigative committee and the three of us sitting here debating this, there's a divide in whether the echo should have been done or right away or not, right? I think we all would say it would be the next step, but whether it should have been done at this point or not, I think that's really what we have to decide. I would have been on the side of it should have been done because I feel like this was new and things were changing pretty rapidly. And something more should have been done. Even if you said, I don't want to do an echo, tell me what you would have wanted to do, because I don't see where things were changing or things were being done to address the concern that this dog was rapidly going downhill. That being said, I don't know that falls below the standard of care because we're so divided. And usually when we are so divided, it means that that's not the standard of care, right? Like the standard of care has to be somewhere below that. And so, I mean, I think I would be comfortable in this case dismissing with no violations, but I would have a letter of concern just documenting the fact that this dog may have benefited from additional workup when the condition was declining. And I would have done that as an echo, but I'm hesitant to put echo in there because I'm afraid Dr. Wright might pick me or something.
Well, I just, like I said, I don't think an echo is necessarily wrong, but really, you don't get massive information from that in most results. I mean, if you look back at every echo you've ever done, you'll get recommendations. Recommendations are furosemide, enalapril, pimobendan, standard treatment, and you just have numbers on your echocardiogram that they tell you to monitor it.
Okay. I've already respectfully disagreed. Yeah. So.
Considering it's 5:05, we have so many things still on the agenda.
I'm for a letter of concern. I don't see.
Okay. Yeah. So we have a motion to dismiss and issue a letter of concern. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, so one nay. So motion passes. Thank you. The board has voted to dismiss this case and issue a letter of concern. This concludes this matter, and Dr. Reed, you will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. Thank you all for joining us today, and that concludes this informal interview.